Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast by PR Works. It is called Business Way Outside the Box. We highlight businesses that are either unusual and offbeat in nature, or they address offbeat subjects and services, or they run in a very unusual way. And if you feel that your business meets this criteria, please contact me at prworkzone.com and we will consider you for a future podcast. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce our esteemed guest, Stephen Melanson of Melanson Consulting. Welcome, Steve.
Great to see you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. In full disclosure, we've known each other for probably at least 15 years, if not longer. Correct. And we've shared a lot of information back and forth. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because I find your approach to sales and marketing to be a lot more refreshing and a lot more direct than most. And I call you the godfather of verbal branding. Tell us a little bit about verbal branding.
Sure thing. Well, it's near and dear to my heart that you call me the godfather of verbal branding, first of all. So verbal branding is a what I would call a spoken application in the branding world. And the short story is that almost 20 years ago now, I started to morph into the branding world. And the very first thing I noticed was they did everything except address what happens when people speak to a prospect or out in the community or marketing wise. And I just thought that that was very strange, because to me, that's where the rubber hits the road. And being the sales guy that I was and still am, I thought, you know, there has to be a way to brand while you speak to people. So I immediately called it verbal branding. And what it all has to do with is, can you differentiate yourself from your competition while you're speaking to someone at a networking event or in a meeting? And there's a simplicity component to it that's pretty mission critical. So basically, we combine through the spoken word, market differentiation and brand differentiation with a simplicity model. And it works quite well for selling. There's other pieces of it as well. There's a lot of layers to it, but that's the leading edge. And that was the origin of why I did this at all.
Okay, great. And so can you give us a quick example of either someone you've worked with or a brand in general that you feel embraces that philosophy?
Well, unwittingly, the Volvo and safety is always the best example, and then I'll give you a different one that's more from my business. But, you know, if it's a plain language, ultra simple concept that's an offer, not a slogan, not a tagline, not a jingle, you know, it's an actual offer to the marketplace that could be construed as differentiating and making something different and better than the competition, then it fits most of the criteria for verbal branding. So someone would actually say, the reason we're different and better here at Volvo is because of how safe, or the safety factor of our vehicles. So that would, I could have developed that. I didn't, of course, because they've been doing that for decades and decades. But that's the kind of concept that works, because it's plain language, it's simple, it's memorable, and people would actually say that and feel comfortable. Most slogans and taglines people just will not say, because they're not natural to speak that way. In my business, I do a lot of work in the financial services marketplace. And for instance, I think most people can relate to this. Everybody knows 10 or 15 financial advisors, you know, if not more. And so they take a lot of pride. I'm not trying to be critical, but they take a lot of pride in the fact that they remember people's birthdays and send a note, and they call them and maybe do a strategic, you know, planning session once or twice a year. So I would call that calendar driven, if you follow. You know, and I think that's a very mediocre offer, by the way. So I worked with one firm, and what we did was we changed it to what we called event-driven. This was part of the positioning we developed. So that changed everything about what they actually did for their customers, their clients, is every single time something, quote-unquote, happened that influenced or impacted someone's money, they got in touch and had a decision-making session. So it could be a stock market thing. It could be a political thing. It could be a change of job. It could be inheritance. So there's many, many things daily, weekly, monthly that happen that would impact someone's money. So instead of being calendar driven, we switched it to, well, they're going to work harder and be event driven. And they actually loved saying that to people. Say, you know, the difference between us and everybody else is we're event driven, not calendar driven. And people would quite naturally ask about that, be curious. That's all part of the dynamics of what I call verbal branding. And if it ain't simple, it won't work.
Okay. Yeah. And so one of the things that you've told me in the past is part of verbal branding is from the janitor to the CEO.
Yes.
Within 4 seconds or so, they should be able to agree upon what that business does.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ways I think about this, but one way is you could say to yourself, you know, why should anybody even care about us? You know, again, if we just stick with what we've talked about already at Volvo, you know, the janitor could walk in or the new hire could walk in day one and be told we exist because of safety, not because we build cars. And that can ride all the way up through to the CEO. You're right. It's very important. If you really want to get people on the same page, which is absolutely elusive in this day and age of, you know, big companies, a lot of moving parts, change is happening all the time, and we know what's going on now. So how do you get people on the same page? If you don't have a simplicity model to deal with it that makes logical sense and that's in plain language, it won't work. It just simply will not work, no pun intended. So you're right, it's really important, it's competitive advantage to not just have that messaging be correct and your and a positioning be correct, but the simplicity is really the driver of it, Steve. You know, that's the thing that people and firms in total don't really get is how to use simplicity. So I talk about it nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, just as a note, I help run some networking groups called My Pinnacle Network. And when we ask somebody to do an elevator pitch, which I know that phrase makes you cringe, sometimes we have to blow a foghorn to get them to stop. That
yeah.
They just keep going because they really aren't sure of what their unique selling proposition is. And so they figure if they give you more in that 5-pound bag, perhaps you'll eventually get it because they're not quite sure.
Well, may I comment?
Sure.
So I've long told people and anybody that will listen to me that the elevator pitch is really, quite frankly, one of the worst ideas I've ever heard in my life. It's a 30-second thing, and 30 seconds always turns into 45 or 60, first of all. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that people commoditize themselves because they're talking for too long, giving too much white noise data. And next thing you know, nobody could care less what they're talking about. They might remember that they're a CPA or a PR firm or a consultant or in technology or whatever it might be. So that's the category. And if people only remember what's in what category of business you're in, to me, that's a branding loss. So 30 seconds is a no-brainer to not do it. You're commoditizing yourself. And what you ought to be able to do, and it'll take some work, but you need to be able to differentiate in one or two concepts, never ever more, and in 5 seconds or less. My version is I do verbal branding and simplicity work, period, end of story. 1 second.
And part of that explanation is what makes you different and better, bam.
That's correct. So yeah. That's the work, is that's not that easy to figure out.
Right.
Is, you know, I'm not promising this to be easy. I'm promising that it works. So the drill is to figure out why are you different and better? You meaning anybody, a product, an entire firm, a person, whatever it is that's being offered to the market. Why is it different and better than the competition? And the work is there to be done, but it's well, well worth it because then you have absolute confidence that you're differentiating yourself and you know exactly what to talk to people about. Because everything else is just part of the white noise and the commoditized nature of everybody's business.
So one of the examples I wanted to have you maybe expand upon a little bit is I've been following your terrific LinkedIn series, video series that are typically about 1 minute of the best wisdom I hear on LinkedIn.
Thank you.
They're on different topics almost every day. And recently you talked about the hallway test.
Ah,
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you. So here's a difficult, somewhat fun, but could be horrifying exercise. Is someone in charge, someone that's in charge of the success of a firm would be ideal to do the hallway test, which is go grab a person, walk down the hall or through the cubicles or to the offices, one person at a time, ask someone, hey, why should anyone care about us? Just keep it really easy and just see what they say. Then, you know, an hour later or a minute later, grab somebody different, one-on-one, and say something like, what's the difference between us and everybody else? See what they say. And do it again with somebody else. Say, why do we show up to work every day, all of us? See what they say. So those are all the same question in essence. They're all chasing what our brand is. And I've had people comment to me back when they actually do things like this, is they're horrified to find that people are utterly stumped by these questions that ought to be right off the top of the head, easy to answer. But people say different things. They say boring things. They say too long of things and revert to, you know, the profile of the company. Here's how long we've been around. That's not what we want. Somebody, if I had 1,000 people in my firm, every single one of them would be able to answer in 1 second that the reason we exist, why the reason anybody should care, is that we do verbal branding and simplicity work, period. And then everything else is just a better explanation of it.
So one of the challenges in working with new clients is oftentimes from our perspective, probably yours as well, that they desperately want to be me too. Here's some websites that I like. Can you give me one that looks just like that?
Yeah.
Or here's a brochure or here's a pitch. We want to be just like them. How do you deal with that when you're in a client situation and you're really trying to convert them to your philosophy that you've proven works?
Well, everything is results driven. And the reason they're talking to me at all is because they have pain around growth or operations or unity. So, you know, it's an unusual, I find it to be a mystifying and unusual mindset to some degree, because why'd you get in business in the first place? To be like everybody else? You know, unless you're in a highly commoditized field and you just have some way of offering at a better price, because you're going to end up fighting it out on price if you don't have differentiation, then, you know, unless you're going to do that, which I think is a volatile and insecure business model, the way to really deal with it is, you know, we have a better secret sauce, you know, and here's what it is. We're all doing just about the same thing, but here's where we're different. That's why we're a more valuable partner. And, you know, this is where we see the value, and is it a good fit? So, you know, I just think people and firms collectively have to deal with reality of, if they in fact find themselves fighting it out on price, which is a very common complaint, or if they feel like everybody's not on the same page, very common complaint, it has to do with their brand, not their sales tactics. It has to do with their brand, how they position. And do they even have that developed? So I tack it from a reality standpoint. And if somebody tells me, oh, no, we're growing plenty fast enough, or we feel good about the unity around here, and my question is, well, why are you talking to me? You know, if you don't have pain, then you shouldn't be talking to me, because we're not going to get anywhere anyway. But if they do have those things, but then still feel like we want to be the other one, the same, you know, then we need to drill into the reality of what their results really are.
Okay. And what about, so not everybody is the right fit and you're smart enough to walk away when there isn't a good fit, but tell me a little bit about maybe a bump in the road that you've experienced with your business and how did you react?
That's a really good question. So one firm comes to mind, and the bump in the road, I was engaged to do work for a client, fairly big company, say $300 to $400 million company. So we had a lot of work to do, and they engaged me to do quite a bit of work. But what I soon realized was I was being blocked by, I'll say the marketing person, being blocked from senior leadership too often, and in particular, the person that was the CEO. And I need to, you know, the kind of work I do, probably just much like you, you need to be talking to the folks that run things, that own things. So the bump was that I was being blocked from getting to talk to the right people, because that's where the feedback comes from. And there's always a two steps forward, one step back process and development for almost anything, and certainly the way my work goes. So the roadblock was that, and I had to fight that battle, and frankly, I didn't win that battle, so I fired them. So I need good partners, you know that this work is important enough to make sure that right people are available to me, or the work won't come out right. I mean, I don't work magic over here. You know, I need input. It's almost like a computer, right? Garbage in, garbage out. So if I don't have the right input, I'm not going to promise good work because I don't have the right input. I need the right people thinking about it the right way. And I provide the model and the guidance and the expertise of what the endpoint will look and feel like, but the content comes from everybody. So I'm not sure if that's the meaning of your question, but that's a bump. And there's always the bumps in the road have to do with having people involved in what I do that own performance. So if I don't get that, then I shouldn't take the job. Or if I find, like in this instance, that I'm not getting what I need, I should and could and might and did fire them. So, but I'll, you know, that's not a good result. They needed to do this work.
So, okay. Yeah. Understood. And sort of looking down the road, I mean, things are changing more frequently than ever. This pandemic has thrown people for a loop.
Yeah.
What do you see sort of moving forward as the future of sales and marketing?
I think that's a great question too. And I do have an opinion. Does it surprise you, Steve? I have an opinion. and I've actually felt this for a while. And I think the pandemic is proving me right. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I just think that this might be the course of things anyway. But what I find these days and what will continue is if providers are not offering strategically important services, they'll be marginalized immediately and over time. And what I mean by that is the best example is CPA firms. They're the ones that are doing this and have been for a while. They all now must provide advisory services, if you notice. And there's a simple reason for that. It's because they have to. They cannot just add up the numbers and spit out a good report and end of year taxation and this and that. They have to be advisory. And what that means is they go beyond the category, what I call go beyond the category with the impact that you have. So they've had to do that because if they only do good work in what is traditionally known as CPA accounting work, there's a million providers. So they're going to lose market share. They're going to get squeezed out. So they all start doing advisory because that's the value add. That's the strategically impactful thing that they can do and do at this point. And that's where their value resides. So that's a model that everybody has to follow. I think about it all the time, Steve, is what do I do and what do my clients do that actually we're going to take the category they're in and what's the impact they can have beyond that that's more impactful for the actual success of their clients, big picture, rather than just doing good work. I hope that makes sense. It's a really important thing that I think is going on now and will continue to.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand. And quick question, I think sometimes people get lost in our lofty ideas and they overcomplicate the process. Maybe you can describe to us briefly how an engagement with you would work.
Sure. Well, I'm going to start by, I'm going to go back to what I was saying a minute ago because I want to be really clear. To me, simplicity is a business tool that must be utilized or performance suffers for growth, for cultural unity, for leadership alignment, almost anything you can think of. So first I need agreement. You know, I'll never get an engagement unless somebody basically agrees with me that that's true, that they, one of the things they need is to simplify to improve performance. So for me, who owns the performance in the brand is who I need to work with. And it's, you know, this isn't rocket science, this part of it. There's a whole discovery process, a research process, you know, full blown project for me might take, you know, a few months or more. And I need leadership or the right people in the room. And now it's going to be on a Zoom call probably, but I need the right people involved. And this is just a straightforward discovery process of, you know, why are you different and better? What are you better at than anybody else? What's the differentiation? What's the position that will work best for you? know, there's a lot of different Q&A there. And then the research of what's going on in the marketplace to make sure you're not overlapping. That never happens, by the way, but you still do research on making sure you don't overlap. That's, you know, somebody else that's you're competing with that already owns a position or is close to owning a position. So it basically goes from discovery to polishing off the results of how, you know, the differentiation really should come out. And then you start educating. So phase one is discovery development. Phase two is educating once the results are in place.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And I was going to wrap up by asking you first to tell us the best way to reach you and maybe the best way to get a better flavor of what you do.
Sure. Thank you, Steve, very much for talking to me about all this. I love talking about it, as you can tell. The way to get in touch with me, I'll just give a phone number and then can easily be found on LinkedIn. But my phone number is 781-443-5017. And if somebody wants to talk to me at a little bit deeper level, I'd first just love to talk to them to see what their situation is. And when suitable, I'm happy to do what is my basic business practice, which is to show people at a deeper level the actual model. So a call like this could be me showing a leader or a group of leaders, you know, what the model actually is, show them some of my slides and walk them through what the model is, what it looks like, what it's meant to do. And that can just be some of my PowerPoint slides on a Zoom call. And I'm happy to take a half an hour with those that would be a suitable, good fit client for me, but also those that are interested to talk to me further as well.
Okay. Well, this has been another exciting episode of Business Way Outside the Box, sponsored by PR Works. If you feel your business is either way outside the box as an oddball or unusual business, or you have an unusual way, a novel way of conducting business, please contact me at prworkzone.com and we'll see if we can get you on a future podcast. Steve, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve, very much.